Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and this is our second week in this series on the goodness of God, and we're right here in the classroom, Kenneth Copeland Bible College. So would you give the Lord a praise and just bless the Lord God. Hallelujah. And in a few days, the second graduating class of this college will happen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so this week, we're going to be applying what we learned last week concerning the goodness of God. And some things that are very practical where it comes to ministry, whether you're in a helps ministry or apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, these things will help you. And these are things that I've learned through the years. And starting with my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, and then just a few weeks, really, I was introduced to Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And my goodness, God's goodness, excuse me for that. And Gloria and I were just wide-eyed at the word of faith. Then I was watching Oral Roberts use faith on purpose, and I was studying faith. Then I found out what produces it, where it comes from, how it works, how you release it, how you mess it up, you know, all of these different things. And when you find out those things, you've arrived at a place. You arrive at a place where you can intelligently search and seek out the things of God, because His Word is final authority. Amen. That was the big thing to me. This book, two blood covenants, one started off in the blood of animals, then went to the blood of a man in circumcision, and then the blood of Jesus in the second covenant, and we are partakers of that. Glory to God. That's why it's referred to as the Word of God, because it is His bond. He backs it, but it takes faith to connect with it. Amen. And it takes the walk of love to continue therein without hindering that faith. So, all of these things that we'll be talking about are in that vein. Okay, Philippians chapter 4 and the 19th verse. Let's start with the 18th verse. I have all, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to his partners in Philippi. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need. Did you notice not needs? All your need. All of it. Needs would tend to apply just in physical material things, but all your need. So I remember in the early days, my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, talked about it all the time. Meet the needs of the people. Meet the needs of the people. That's what you're for. Meet the needs of the people. So, And I was praying about needs. Need. Who needs what, when, where, why, and so forth. Well, I came to the conclusion, that wasn't hard to do, that God had needs. Oh, He doesn't need anything. He's a sovereign God. Well, He sovereignly needs things. He has chosen the need people. This is a family affair with Him. He needed a family or you wouldn't even be here. Amen. He needs things. He needs people. He has covenants to fulfill, and they're fulfilled through people. Men and women of God fulfill His needs. Did Jesus have needs? He absolutely did. He needed things. He needed clothes. He needed people. What's the first thing He did? Well, other than when He turned 30, baptized in the Spirit of God, already had the Spirit of God, but He had to be anointed through, because He didn't minister as God, He ministered as a man, as you know, a man anointed by the Spirit of God and with the Spirit of God. So, but what did He need? He needed a staff. He couldn't do this thing by Himself. And besides that, it was ordained that there be 12. And it matched 12 apostles of the Lamb, matched the 12 tribes of Israel in the first covenant. You see that?
Yes.
All right. He needed that. He needed a treasurer to handle all of funds that were flowing into His ministry. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, now then, it is this. You remember, and we could look it up in 1 Timothy 5:18 and Luke 10, 1:7 and so forth, but and Deuteronomy 24:14 and 15. And 1 Timothy 5:18 talks about the elders. The workman is worthy of his hire. The workman is worthy of his hire. And that was referring to elders. Then in Luke 10, 1 through 7, were ministers. The crowds got so big, he couldn't handle it with his staff, so he called what? Huh? 70 more. And sent them out two by two. Glory to God. So he needed people.
Yes.
He had needs.
Yes.
The crowds were too big.
Amen.
And not only that, we're approaching the end.
That's right.
And there was a thing that must come to pass to fulfill prophetic writings and so forth, so on. So it's important to understand what your job is.
Yes.
To meet the needs of the people. And you've heard me say this before. Most people don't know what a job is. Don't have a clue. Thinking about a job only through the eyes of the natural. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the body of Christ, by and large. And really don't think about it until somebody brings it up. And when you understand this, then you're in a position to grow financially. So let's just start with a minimum wage job. What is a job? A job solves someone's problem. Someone has a need that needs to be fulfilled. Now, I've said this to you before, but concept, insight, and ideas and motive is everything. And you must get the concept away from yourself. The thing that turned out to be, I started studying a 13-volume book, a set of books called The Laws of Prosperity. And then I read the condensed version written by Earl Nightingale, Think and Grow Rich. Now, he had entree into the top wealthiest businessmen in the United States. And he interviewed them. I'm talking about Henry Ford. I'm talking about Walter Chrysler. I'm talking about all of these financial giants. He interviewed them, talked about how they thought, what they did, and he came out with this. All of these men, all of them, many of them were tithers. John Rockefeller said, if I hadn't tithed on that first million, I never would have on the second. Now, he was raised in abject poverty. And his mother was a tithing woman. taught him how to tithe. But here was the consensus of the whole thing. All of these industrial giants all had the same concept. I am in business to help people. Henry Ford, I am in business to get a car into the hands of the working people. Wealthy people had cars. Wealthy people had them. Working people couldn't afford them. And that brought about great inventions like the assembly line. And whoa. And Thomas Edison, he was so wrapped up in helping people improve their lives. He didn't care whether he made any money or not. Amen. Amen. That's the reason primarily the reason why he started a company called General Electric. Was to help people. Help somebody. That's what a job is for. So the concept should be, what can I do, number one, to help God and to minister to Him? They ministered, 13th chapter of the book of Acts, they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. In that atmosphere, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, separate unto me. Barnabas and Paul. At that time, Barnabas outranked Paul. But a little bit later on, that changed. Amen. There were these prophets and teachers gathered together. But they fasted, they prayed, they ministered unto the Lord. They were meeting the needs of Jesus. And they ministered to Him. Brother Copeland, does he need ministering too? Well, absolutely. How'd you like to put up with all this all the time?
I know.
There needs to be a time when you just get up and say, Lord, what can I do for You today? How can I minister to You today? I was very, very, very pleasantly blessed and impressed at something Jesse Duplantis said, not only to me, but then I heard him preach it. He got up one morning and he said he knew it in his spirit. He said, Jesus, someone has hurt you today. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, Jesus? Listen, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Read your New Testament. There are things that grieve the Spirit. And hurt Him, grieve Him. And He has something coming up ahead of Him that He had rather not do. Jesus does. There's coming a time, I don't believe it's very far off, there's coming a time when He's going to have to say, depart from Me. I never knew you. But didn't we prophesy in Your name? I mean, didn't we do a bunch of good stuff? I never knew you. Brother Copeland, I don't understand that. I don't either. I mean, that goes beyond my insight. But it's in the book, right?
Yes.
You've read it?
Yes.
Yeah. There's coming a day he's going to have to do that. Now, that's taking us over into an area that we'll touch later on in the week. But now then, this in Deuteronomy 24, 14, and 15, hired servants. Now, I was raised, as most of you know by now, I was raised out in West Texas. And one of the great things of my life was to go on up on the plains, on the panhandle of Texas. My grandfather being a farmer, and you know, he had an outstanding income for a man in that position. But he didn't have, you know, he didn't have a lot of people working for him. So what did he do? We called them hands. Well, that, you know, lend me a hand. Just lend me a hand, you know. Yeah. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Help me. Give me help. Give me a hand here.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, think about this. This just touch on something. That the power of death and life is in the power of the tongue. Go look that word translated, power of the tongue. It's in the hand. It's in the hand, in the power. So I'm saying this, you know, we had hired hands. And there wasn't a lot of them, but you got to have some help here. There were crews that would come through that part of the country. Man, I'm telling you, girl, we had wheat harvest. Particularly, now, my mother's oldest brother gave his life for this country in World War II. But he was, he came back, he graduated from Texas Tech, and then he graduated, his major was political science and a minor in chemistry. He came to my granddad and he said, Papa, there's an underground river, an aquifer, running under all of this property up here. He said, if we can tap into that, we will never lose a crop because it didn't rain. And my grandfather said, let's get it. Let's do it. And they did. And I remember it, man. I remember it. And when I was a kid, if there was any water, I'd swim in a mud hole, man. You just couldn't keep me out of the water. And I just loved that. I loved to swim. And when I was just a young kid, I swam in competition. And just, you know, just wasn't that I was all that good at it. I just liked it so much, you know. And so they had this big pool where the huge gushing well pump would just gush that water out into that big pool. This was before they came up with the siphoning tubes that advanced that. This was in the beginning days of it. Anyway, oh, it is hot. And I was out there. I said, Papa, can I go swimming? He said, have at it. I didn't know that water was just a little above freezing. It came from the thermocline, you know, way down yonder. Whoa, I didn't even sink. And he thought that's the funniest thing he ever saw. And, well, you know, I thought so too. Lord, it's water. I want it in it. Anyway, so when they did that, oh, the wheat harvest. Well, cotton was great, but wheat. But think about the difference between the two. You wear the cotton, you eat the wheat. What are you doing? Meeting the needs of a lot of people. Then there would be truckloads of people that follow the wheat harvest. and fun. Everybody had fun, particularly if you knew the kids that were there last year. Now, let me remind you of something else. Preparing the soil is hard work. And you're out there working hard. And I remember one year, it was so hot. That dirt was so hot, your feet didn't want to be still. You know, just hurt. We were preparing soil. Doing what? Hoeing weeds. That's nasty. And, my grandfather could sharpen a hoe to where you could almost shave with it, you know. But we're going through the fields. Now, most people in this part of the country don't know what goat head stickers are. Now, I know I heard somebody that did. Those things are nasty. And out there, they're just abundant. So here we are. There was my grandfather and one hired hand Spanish guy. And here we go down the line, you know, being able to just scoop those goat heads off right at the base. And my grandfather took off down that field. And it wasn't long till he lapped us. And the guy that was working with me said, he stopped with me and said, "Hey, when does that old man fall down?" I said, "He don't ever fall down." I asked him one time, I said, "Papa, how come you can just outwork me?" He said, "'Cause you don't ever set your jaw, brother or son. Set your jaw. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to do it good, and I'm going to do it fast and do it hard. Set your jaw. Get your job done. Why? You're meeting the needs of people. You're meeting the needs of millions of people. Hallelujah. Yeah. Needs. Say it. Needs. God's needs. The people's needs. And it all meets my needs. That day I was praying and the Lord said, "Look up." And so I physically did it. I just look up. He said, "You're concerned with your needs. Now you look up and you take on the needs of the world." Because he said, that's what I'm interested in, is meeting the needs of all the people, beginning with receiving Jesus. Glory to God. And we're out of time. Come on, Jeremy, help us here, son.
Thank you, Papa. Today's study is about meeting the needs of others through the goodness of God. And we need to be in the mindset all the time of helping people. See, Jesus came to give us life that we may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full until it overflows. And it's out of that overflowing life that we have the grace to fulfill the needs of others.
My experiences at KCBC over the past few years have been awesome, discovering the calling and purpose and God has put in my life.
We were being taught on how to live our life on a daily basis, every day in the Word, to just completely focus on God.
Every person you meet is constantly pouring into you, whether it's your other students, whether it's faculty, pastors.
We're not the same people we were when we walked in those doors.
Discover your calling. Go to kcbiblecollege.org and apply today.
How do you have a vision for your future when you just need to get through today? When the dreams you once had seem out of reach, is there a way to rebuild? The Bible says that God has only good plans for you, that His goodness and mercy are coming after you. It's when you begin to understand His goodness that you can begin to receive it. Get the Goodness of God MP3 series by Gloria Copeland and grow your capacity to see the love, prosperity, healing, all the good things of God in your life.
God is good. There's not anything that is more faith-building than to know the Father and to know His goodness.
When it seems like the world around you is being torn apart, you can remain firm in hope. Become a living, walking example of the love that God has poured out to mankind. as you join your faith in God's promises with steadfastness to stand on His Word, there's nothing that can stop His blessing from taking over your life.
Order your free copy of the Goodness of God MP3 series by Gloria Copeland. The motivation of God's heart is His love for you. Receive all the benefits that God desires to pour out on you through His goodness. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It's an audio series called The Goodness of God. Now, there was a time when people would generally agree on what was considered good, what was bad, what was right, what was wrong. But in today's society, that is no longer the case. The secular worldviews are oftentimes opposite of God's Word. So more than ever, it's so important that the church knows the truth about God, who He is, and who we are, and how we are to live. Live in this kingdom right here on this earth. And this teaching series gets you back to the foundational truths of the goodness of God. And through Jesus, we have the victory over all the curse, so we should be operating out of that place of victory. And living in God's goodness blesses you, blesses your family, and it also touches the lives of the people around you. And there are people in your life that you are called and assigned to reach with the Word of God. When you're living in the blessing of God, you become proof to them, proof of His goodness in the world. And I encourage you to get this free teaching. Just go to kcm.org, request your free copy, or download a digital file today. Now listen, the Southwest Believers Convention is only a couple of months away, so you need to start making your plans right now to be there August 2nd through the 7th. And this is KCM's hometown meeting being held right here in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. And the Word of the Lord came to Brother Copeland for this year. He said 2021 is the year of the local church. Now, Texas is open, and we are having church. We're going to have church, and we encourage you to bring the whole family. We've got services for children. We've got services for your teenagers, and we are looking forward to getting together, being unified in God's power and in His presence. So come join Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Bill Winston, Keith Moore, and Pastor Terry Pearson's. So to register for this event and get all the information you need, just go to kcm.org. And then be sure to join us on the broadcast again tomorrow. Brother Copeland's going to be teaching you about the importance of taking time to rest your spirit. This is a part of God's plan for your health and your longevity. Thanks for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request a free copy of today's broadcast. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.